This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com, based in New York. I am not in New York right now. I am in Las Vegas, sitting on a couch.
Sofa.
Sitting on a couch. With my man and yours, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
I'm good. I'm the what to your what tonight, Jason.
I would say you are the Nicki Minaj to my Nicki Minaj doppelganger.
Oh my God. Oh my God. There was a Nicki Minaj doppelganger on the carpet tonight, and all of us were almost taken for a ride.
That was a... So, all right.
There was almost a woman who tried to turn us on, but she wasn't actually the real Nicki.
So we are live at the MGM Grand, where we just left about an hour and a half ago, the Billboard Music Awards of 2015.
Yes.
We were on the red carpet, tag teaming the red carpet, as we did at the Grammys.
We were backstage as well in the fabulous one-on-one room where artists came back and took fabulous photos that you'll see on Billboard.com very soon.
Yeah.
Glamour shots. Lots of fabulous jewelry and jean jackets turned up with their collar. I'm kidding.
And then as the show was going on, Keith was doing the winner's walk where various artists who either won awards or won the night, as they say.
Performed on the show and didn't have a chance to watch on the carpet. Like David Lee Roth came by.
Tori Kelly,
Meghan Trainor.
What was that group called?
One Direction? Why, yes. Yeah. One Direction came by. I shouldn't say finally got my moment.
Yeah.
Because I've talked to them before.
Yeah.
But I felt like
you had your moment again.
This was a better moment with me and One Direction.
Where did you talk to them before?
At the AMAs last year.
Oh.
But that was like so super short.
Okay, so you had some time
to
settle
in. This was like a proper interview where I actually could actually make it work.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So again, for those, before we get started, this is a post-Billboard Music Awards Pop Shop podcast. We are usually on separate coasts. We are on the same sofa right now.
I'm looking at Jason right now.
It's nice to look at you, man.
We can also talk at the same time and overlap one another.
Usually, I tape the podcast in a conference room in New York, in the New York Billboard offices.
I normally tape it inside like someone else's office.
And I can't. And it's hard because I'm trying to picture you drop all these chart facts.
Yeah.
And you know, I usually have like a little like Keith like figurine, so I can like. You know, like a little like...
Right. I just have a voodoo doll with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and so every time you forget something, so I'm like, that needle's working. Got him in the shoulder.
That's why
I can't throw those free throws anymore. Ooh, look, it's a sports reference. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's awesome that
Jason's
we could actually...
Jason's also living tonight because he saw a basketball player on the carpet and lost his mind.
Yeah, so... Very quickly, I'll tell the story before we get really started.
See, this is what happens when we're in the same room.
Yeah, I know. We don't have any kind of script or notes or anything.
No, we don't have a script. Normally we do.
But so you're going to hear us blabber a lot. But so Iggy Azalea walked the red carpet and I interviewed her. This was actually my first time interviewing Iggy Azalea. I interviewed her for about 59 seconds.
About 59 seconds to be possibly exact.
Yeah. And it was a great minute of my life. I felt fancy. I'm not gonna lie. But for those who don't know,
I just want you to know,
Iggy Azalea's boyfriend is Nick Young, who is a player for the Los Angeles Lakers. And for those also who don't know, I'm a huge basketball fan. And
for those just joining us, Jason likes the basketball.
I love the basketball. And Keith, before he was on the Lakers, he was on my favorite team, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Right, we're getting kind of deep here. So Jason lost his mind because he's like, is that Iggy Azalea? I'm like, yeah, it's Iggy. He's like, oh, wait, oh my God. And then he like basically fanboyed out, not over Iggy, but yeah. over like the guy that she was with. Because I think also we weren't sure if she'd actually attended any sort of event with him.
Yeah, previously. That's the thing, is that like he wasn't at the Grammys because it was in the season, so he couldn't go with her. He's not playing anymore.
And we didn't get Iggy at the Grammys, did we?
No, we did not. Yeah. And we got Iggy today.
Yeah, so before we get too deep into this,
okay.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
What we normally say is, before we get started, we have a jam-packed show. You should really go and like us on iTunes.
Oh yeah,
subscribe to
we
got to
do the housekeeping.
iTunes. You got to do the housekeeping stuff here.
Yeah. So I know if you are a fan of the Pop Shop Podcast, like us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Tell a friend.
Rate
subscribe.
And review us on iTunes.
Do you like our fancy new graphics?
Yeah, we have fancy new graphics now,
ooh,
which is
la,
great.
La, la, la.
Again, this is going to be posting up on iTunes. This episode, I should say, it's going to be posting up on iTunes on Monday morning, as well as on Billboard.com. But we will also have a new Pop Shop podcast, as per usual, on Thursday. And I think that's going to be our Song of the Summer episode, which I'm excited about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you that.
Oh, surprise. Well, that's probably why we asked everyone about their Song of the Summer tonight, right?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to be in Thursday? Everyone
yeah,
talking
maybe.
About it, maybe?
We'll see.
Tune in. You'll find out. You'll find out when I find
you
out.
I'm excited. I'm excited for that. If you have any questions for us, hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I am at Jason Lipschutz. Okay, so we kind of got started with Nick Young and Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, and there's so many other things to talk about.
They're
great.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff.
Well, Iggy performed. It was sort of taped. It wasn't at... They did not perform at the MGM Grand.
They did not perform. Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea together performed Pretty Girls.
Yes.
They both came onto the carpet at the same time, by the way.
Yeah, which was cool.
Iggy and Britney were both posing for photos at the same time. Britney, I don't think she did any press on the carpet,
no,
but I'm
I don't
sure
think
someone
so.
Will probably say that, you know, I'm wrong. So, yeah, I interrupted you. But, yeah, they performed.
Yeah, Pretty Girls.
They performed on the Billboard Music Awards.
Yes.
They were part of the show.
Yes. Yeah, and... They had, it's funny because I saw Britney, we're taping this on Sunday night. I saw her on Saturday night. A group of us went to her Vegas show at Planet Hollywood, which was awesome. And I recommend it highly. You've seen it before, Keith.
I saw it opening night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
I forgot about that.
I saw Britney Spears' Piece of Me show at the Access at Planet Hollywood opening night.
Yep.
I reviewed it for Billboard.
Yep.
My review turns up, get this. On the commercials that you see on the big screens when you arrive in Las Vegas at the airport,
yeah.
when you're watching the big screens at the luggage carousels, they're like, Britney Spears, Piece of Me, blah, 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 now Planet Hollywood. And they show like the sizzle quotes, like
yeah.
so-and-so says it's this. And then up comes a quote from me. It's a hits-filled bonanza, says Keith Caulfield.
That's
Billboard.
What you called it?
A hits-filled bonanza is evidently what I wrote in my story. And so somehow...
I love the word bonanza.
Bonanza. It's a hits-filled bonanza. Look, I wrote it at 2 in the morning after that show. I may have been delirious, but it is a hits-filled bonanza.
It was really fun. So anyway, so they performed Pretty Girls, and it was fun. It was fun. Like, you haven't seen a Britney Spears award show performance in quite some time.
The last time she performed on any award show
Four
was
years?
The Billboard
yeah,
Awards
yeah.
in 2011.
Yeah.
She likes Billboard, and we really like that she comes back to us and she trusts our
That's
show.
That's great, Britney. So let's talk about One Direction, who kind of, it's funny because they didn't perform. They did not win Top Artist, but I feel like they kind of stole the show a little bit tonight because this was their first award show appearance without Zayn.
Yes.
And
like, there's going to be a lot of this is their first blah without Zayn type talk.
Yeah, I it's funny because
their first talk show appearance without Zayn, their first award show without Zayn.
I likened it a couple weeks ago to like a toddler where it's like
the first steps.
Yeah.
Everything
first
is new
potty
again.
Potty trained. Yeah. So yeah, now it's like all this post Zayn. And they grow up so fast, I guess.
They grow up so fast. And they have so much facial hair now. So many tattoos.
So before I ask about what you talked about behind the scenes with One Directions, it was I liked that Liam, when they were accepting the award for top duo / group, gave Zayn a little shout out there.
Yeah.
He was like
Our brother Zayn.
And I'm paraphrasing here, but this award deserves to be shared with our brother Zayn. I think he said something along those lines, which was nice. And I'm sure that it's especially because there's been so much tumult between Louis and Liam. So, or not Liam, excuse me, Louis and, not Louis and Liam, Louis and Zane.
Louis and Zane.
Yeah. So, that was nice. And then you talked to the backstage.
I did. I talked to One Direction backstage. Folks listening, you may not understand the high drama that goes into trying to wrangle superstar A-list talent for these award shows, like just trying to get a moment with them, because everyone else is also trying to get them too.
Yeah.
So we were able to make it happen. And I talked to them backstage. They took some photos with us, some sort of still photos, and then we did a video interview with them. And I asked them about what happened on stage, about how they were sort of cut off from the rest of their acceptance speech. And I said, well, you can finish the rest of your speech now. And they're like, I kind of forgot what I was going to say, which was kind of a funny moment. And then I asked them about how their new album is going. And they talked about, you know, who they're working with to a degree. They talked about how it seems like they have the same team in place that has been working on their last few albums.
Yep.
So if you're familiar with the team, Nate Jamie something or other, whose name I forget.
We have a computer in front of us. We can look
Jamie
it up.
Jamie from that duo, pop duo. Anyway, never mind. So they're working on it right now. And what else did we talk about? I asked about Directioners. I asked about their fans and what they think of their fans. And they talked about how their fan base has started.
Jamie Scott.
That's who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I think Jamie Scott's probably involved with the album as well. So they also talked about their fan base, the Directioners, and how they've started this movement, this hashtag no control movement. Which kind of was a worldwide trending topic on Twitter all day on Sunday, May 17th. And it's basically, and Louis addressed it specifically and talked about what it is. And so we had a good chat. It lasted for, it seems like a long time, but it wasn't really that long, but it was a good long
chat.
It
always seems like it. And then you look up and it's like 45 seconds.
Yeah, I definitely think it was more than 59 seconds with Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
I definitely think it was longer than Jason's Jennifer Lopez interview. He talked to fucking J-Lo on the carpet. Jason talked to J-Lo.
Well, you should have swooped in.
J-Lip talked to J-Lo.
I didn't know it meant so much to you. I like J-Lo.
I mean, I think it's great the way you're so blasé about freaking Jennifer Lopez. It's J-Lo.
Oh,
she's
no.
She's so
beautiful
on the carpet. It's insane.
It's, you know, she's a superstar. But I'm just saying in terms of you wanting to talk to her, because Keith and I were trading off.
Yeah, we were tag-teaming on the carpet, you know, based upon, like, who, you know, we were probably had the better skill set for.
Yeah, and we prepared for everybody, but yeah. You know, like if Charlie XCX comes up,
that's all Jason.
That's all me.
If Little Big Town comes up, that's all me.
That's all you. So you should have told me. We didn't know that Jennifer Lopez was
going to
be walking on the carpet.
Jennifer Lopez shows up on the carpet and
boom.
We're like, "Oh my god, I didn't realize J-Lo."
And then she starts to impress and we're like, "Let's go."
We're like, "She's really talking to us? Okay."
And I'm sorry, man. Next red carpet, J-Lo's
okay.
All you.
I got One Direction.
So, let's talk about someone else. We talked to on the red carpet. I talked to Fifth Harmony.
Yes.
So right now we're recording this a couple hours, like I said, after the Billboard Music Awards. Right now, my Twitter comments, my at replies are in shambles. They're literally in shambles.
Yeah,
Keith.
Someone is saying talk to Fifth Harmony on Periscope, but Keith Coughlin and I will talk. Wait, that's you. Yeah. So Twitter is kind of going off the hook, asking about Fifth Harmony.
And you know what? And before we say anything, I get it. Well, the whole thing is that Fifth Harmony was announced as a performer.
Yes.
And then...
And sort of relentlessly promoted.
Yes.
By various entities leading up to the awards saying, are you excited to see Fifth Harmony perform on the show?
Yeah. And they ended up introducing Nicki Minaj and David Guetta's performance without performing. And I get it. Like, that's the thing is, like, people who are tweeting us and saying, like, we hate you. Well, I don't get that. Don't hate us.
We didn't produce the show. Yeah, we didn't. I mean, Jason and I did.
Maybe you did. I did. I definitely didn't. But I get people. I get the anger. I get it's like, you want to see, you tune into an award show that promises your favorite artist performing, and then they don't perform. I get that. It's a letdown.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. So here's what we'll say.
Yeah.
And
What will we say?
We said this on... Oh, and if I didn't already say it, thank you again to everyone who watched us on Periscope. We did a live little fan interaction Periscope thing after the award show. And we talked about this then as well, but we'll talk about it again. Fifth Harmony was supposed to perform. They did not perform. They are going to discuss why. I believe, very soon. Is that what the deal is? I believe
in Fifth Harmony is going
to
discuss.
Yeah, I think they and their team are going to release some sort of statement, clarification.
Well, I mean, they said on Twitter, earlier tonight they said, we're not performing, we're only presenting.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure by the time you hear this, though, we've already clarified what happened.
Hopefully.
And also, and I can't speak on behalf of the Billboard Music Awards, even though I do work at Billboard, as does Jason. All I can say is that, in the run-up to a show, best laid plans sometimes go awry.
Yeah.
And, for all we know, it there may have been an adjustment in the running time of the show.
Yeah.
Something could have happened. For all we know, maybe Fifth Harmony, said, we can't do this. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
And it's not, it'll all be fine.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that here's the silver lining, right, Keith? You see through this, and Fifth Harmony's performed on a ton of televised shows in, like, Good Morning America, Today Show, all that kind of stuff. And obviously this was a huge look for them if they did perform. But I think this shows how passionate their fan base is.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know that certain artists, they just wouldn't kind of see this tsunami of Twitter mentions and people mobilizing
on Twitter,
and just saying what happened. And that's the thing. I think the silver lining is that it shows again how many people care about this group. And they're on the cusp of only their first top 20 hit.
Yeah,
but their fans are so passionate. So
we asked about all of that. We asked about how they're having a huge hit right now with Worth It, which is their biggest hit ever on the Billboard Hot 100, and their biggest hit period, really, the one that's breaking them through to the mainstream. We asked them about that on the red carpet. You can watch that video online now. And I think we also asked them about, we may address this later, we also asked them about the devotion of their fans, I believe.
Yeah. And Harmonizers. And we're both fans of Fifth Harmony.
I really wanted to do the interview with Fifth Harmony on the carpet, but Jason has a much better reason to talk to them because he did the So You Know I Can't Dance.
Yeah.
Wait, is that it?
So You Know You Can't Dance.
So You Know You Can't Dance. And they came up and they were super, I mean, some of them actually recognized me.
Did they?
Yeah. At
oh,
the beginning.
Really?
Yes. Some of them did.
I nudged you out of the way, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm
Jason
sorry,
suddenly
man.
Jumped in front of me and was like, what's up?
I'm basically a red carpet egomaniac.
It's your boy Jason taking over the joint yet again.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, I feel a little protective of Billboard's red carpets because I've been the one doing them since 2011.
Yeah.
So every time Billboard usually has a red carpet somewhere in Los Angeles or Vegas, I'm usually that guy. But now Jason's swooping in.
But here's the thing. Doesn't it make it easier for you?
No, it does.
Okay.
It does.
See?
And it does. And it made sense that you talked to Fifth Harmony because you did the video with them. And they came up and they were asking you questions about, and they were referencing certain things in his personal life.
Oh, you can't. I mean, they asked how my wedding planning's
right,
going.
Right, because Jason's going to get married later on this year. And they were asking about that. And they've recognized me before. They're so good with that.
Yeah.
And they're so personable. They're so charming. And you can see why they have such a great fan base.
Yeah.
Because they really make that connection with people.
So let's move on, man.
Like,
so
how long have we been talking? Like a half an hour already?
59 seconds. So Taylor Swift. We haven't even talked about Taylor Swift, who kind of ruled the night.
Yeah,
top artist.
She won 8 awards, right?
Unbelievable.
I think so.
Unbelievable amount of awards.
She's now won I think she's won 8, and I believe she now has the most Billboard Music Awards of any artist in history with 20.
Unbelievable. She would have passed Garth Brooks, right?
Garth Brooks had 19.
Yeah, hey.
You wrote something about that on Billboard.com. I helped you verify that.
I did. I did indeed. You're right. And
yeah, Taylor swept, basically. Well, almost swept. I
mean, it makes sense. She had the biggest album, and she had 2 number one smashes.
It's been a very good year.
It's been a very good year for Taylor. And
And the Bad Blood video?
Yeah, okay. So you have not seen the Bad Blood video
yet. No, because
we're
recording this. We've just so you know that I'm not, like, sleeping here. After the red carpet finished at 5 p.m. local time here in Vegas, that is when the show actually starts.
Yeah.
And I went backstage and I'm in a press area where they didn't have a monitor, so I couldn't see it. Jason was next door in a different room, so he could see it.
Yeah.
So he has seen the video.
Yeah, I saw the Bad Blood music video. It's basically almost like, hey, do you know who the director Robert Rodriguez is?
Yeah.
He's done, yeah. So it
was. Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
Right?
And yeah, like Sin City and.
So it looked very Sin City like in all the lead up to it.
It was a lot of that. It was basically like, first of all, it was cool that because it's the Kendrick Lamar remix of Bad Blood. That was the actual video for it. So that was awesome. I really liked his contribution to the new version of it. And basically all of the, he was the only male in the video. All of the, I should say only like male star of it.
Right.
There were some bodyguards being beaten up by Selena Gomez and Taylor Swift.
Like some male dancers like cavorting around.
Yeah, it was
kidding.
Just, no, it was no, it was no male
there was
dancers.
No dancers.
There was dance fighting. But anyway, you basically just had this avalanche of female stars from Lena Dunham to Carly Kloss to Hayley Williams to Zendaya. I mean.
Cindy Crawford. Random.
Ellie Goulding was in there. I didn't know Ellie Goulding was part of the Taylor Swift gang squad.
Yeah,
team.
She sometimes pops up in those,
that's cool,
those Instagram photos of her.
I love Ellie.
Like, you know, like you, I expected the Heim girls to show up at some point.
Yeah, where were the Heim girls?
Maybe they weren't available that weekend.
Basically, it was almost like a Hunger Games meets Robert Rodriguez kind of thing where it was just a bunch of, you know, female superstars kicking ass and as like comic book heroes. It was really fun. It's so crazy to see. Here's what I thought of actually when I was watching this video. It's so crazy how far Taylor Swift has transitioned in such a short amount of time. Like this was like, I know that, you know, Blank Space, Shake It Off, there weren't like country, you know, music videos, country songs at all, but like to see her in this like sci-fi high production kind of thing is just crazy to think of. Like, it's only been like 5 years since like Mine and The Story of Us and stuff like that on her Speak Now album. It's so crazy how much she's been transitioning.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing about Taylor is that I remember when I saw her on the AMA Awards like 2 years ago, I guess, or yeah, whenever she did what was the second single from the last album, Jason? With the dubstep breakdown.
Oh, I Knew You Were Trouble.
I Knew You Were Trouble. I Knew You Were Trouble on the AMAs, and she opened the show. And I was never like a big Taylor Swift like fanboy. Like,
yeah.
I liked what I heard. I liked the singles. Great. But then when I saw her do I Knew Your Trouble, I was like, this is like a moment where she's making a transition.
Yeah.
And I think Jason's yawning because he's really tired.
No.
He is yawning because we're doing this on Sunday night after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's amazing what Taylor's done.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And again, she won top artist, a million awards. She was
8 total.
Little PDA with Calvin Harris.
She, I believe, sort of hugged him once and maybe kissed him once.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time that they sort of, I mean, they, and we're not, this is not what we do. We're not like, let's talk about like, you know, personal relationships with people. But, you know, when you come to an award show and you're there with your significant other, you know, it's sort of kind of, you're there. And I thought that was kind of nice that they're, you know, going out together. And who knows? I mean, maybe Taylor and Calvin could work on music together. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
I'm sure that's happening.
That's got to be happening.
I'm sure that is happening.
I think it'd be so cool.
You look at what happened with her and Kendrick, which is obviously not a romantic thing, but they shared a mutual, you know, affection for each other's music. And now he's on the Bad Blood remix.
And Taylor is such a fan of just like music in general. Like she loves like all sorts of musicians and artists, and she can like name check everyone. Like I was reading on the flight in on like the Southwest magazine, there was an interview with her and they were asking her about like Steve Earle, I think that's the interview I was reading. Like she knows like everyone from Steve Earle to like George Jones to Calvin Harris to whoever.
Yeah.
Like she's just that kind of artist.
Absolutely. So yeah. she was one of the big winners of the night. Let's talk about You know what? I want to talk about Tori Kelly for a second. Because
who I spoke to backstage, by the way.
She was the Billboard Kia one to watch.
Yep.
And it's one of those things, and again, this is a Billboard award show. We work for Billboard. But it's always one of those things where it's like, you know, an artist who doesn't necessarily have the star power to appear on a major award show like this, and you're kind of like, when she comes on stage or whatnot, it's like, oh, what is she, like, what is this artist doing here? It just seems kind of out of place. But she gave one of the best performances of the night. I mean,
that's
she,
what people were saying. Like, John Legend loved it, and yeah. Florida Georgia Line, they mentioned how they thought. Yeah, I think it was one of the things where people didn't really know who she was. And we were talking about this, I think, in last week's podcast, where we were talking about who's going to be the one to, you know,
have
take
the
it.
Breakout.
Have
yeah.
the breakout. And it's her, because she is that sort of flying under the radar artist
yeah.
that is going to take the moment and say, hey, you don't know who I am, but I have this moment and the spotlight's on me.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, it's not like she's coming out of nowhere. She's been working on music for years.
But to the average person watching,
to the average person, yeah,
they don't know who she is, and this was her moment.
But this was, you know, it was a little. I would say it's a little risky to have someone like a Tori Kelly on a nationally televised award show like this, and to not have people like tune out or whatnot just because they're so unfamiliar. But
and that's
really,
why you blow them away with an amazing performance.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to tune. They're not going to change the channel now. It's like, this is too good.
It's funny because she came out with, it was just her and a guitar. And I made a joke to our colleague that was sitting next to me. I was like, man, they were like, some of the producers were like, you can perform, Tori, but your production budget is $0. So yeah. She was like, all right, I guess I'll come out with just a guitar.
You're
then.
Like, you can be on the show, however.
Some of the other highlights. I thought that the Wiz Khalifa, Charlie Puth, Lindsey Stirling, See You Again performance was just really stellar.
Puth on the carpet was talking about...
Puth on the carpet.
Puth on the carpet. Never let him before. Who cares when you Puth kick your jacket? I talked to Puth on the carpet, right? Or was it you?
No, that was you.
That
yeah.
was me. I was asking him about how the collaboration came together. And yeah. he said that the original intent was that they wanted live strings on the song when they made it. Because he noted that he produced
really?
The song. And he says, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't happen. So I put on electronic strings. And then he's like, when we decided to do this, they thought, why not get strings, like yeah. real strings? And then they said, oh, hey, what about Lindsey Stirling? And also, by the way, Lindsey Stirling is also managed by the same person who manages Charlie Puth.
Oh, okay.
So it's a happy little.
Yeah, and Lindsey Stirling didn't know she was going to be performing until like last week.
Yeah,
like, it was very, very last minute. That was really great. I mean, I'm not like a huge See You Again fan. I mean, it's you know, an emotional song. It's not like one of my personal favorites, but it was definitely one of my personal favorite performances of the night. Let's talk about Kanye, because that was kind of on the opposite end of where everything went right for the See You Again performance. It just seems like Kanye was a little snake bit at the Billboard Music Awards.
What a snake
bit?
I didn't see the performance. What happened?
Oh, so you didn't hear about this?
No.
Okay, so it started when the Jenners introduced him, and
as a
people
doctor,
were
I believe.
As a doctor, and
honorary
people
doctor.
Were there was a select group that was booing them, and you could hear it on the telecast. You could definitely hear it, and I don't really know why they were booing them. Like, aren't they just, like, huge, likable stars now?
Well, I think the... It
Maybe
was,
my
the,
perception's
was it, was
off?
It Chloe, Kendall, and Kylie?
No, it was I believe, Chloe and Kylie.
So it's two of the... It was,
yes.
It was a Jenner and a Kardashian.
Yes. I'm gonna verify that as
I
we
mean,
talk.
I mean, the Kardashians and the Jenners are... A little bit polarizing in general. However, I think now with what's happening with Bruce Jenner, I think, you know, there's certainly more of, I think the
no, it, I'm sorry, it was Kendall and Kylie Jenner.
Just Kendall and Kylie on their own?
I think Chloe was there.
With okay.
But she was
well,
not.
Well, whatever the case,
presented.
I kind of thought right now that people were kind of with them. However, you can never account for people kind of going lame
yeah.
in an audience, because you know this award show is at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. It holds like 12,000 people.
Yeah.
It's a big concert thing. Like, you know, it's a ticketed event. A lot of people can just come to this.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy a ticket to the show. And so sometimes if you're going to have a couple of rowdy people in the audience that start booing, it's really tacky and it's not cool.
It's just strange. Like, it's just like, you know, out of everybody, Kendall and Kylie Jenner get booed. Anyway, so then after that, Kanye performed and way too much fog on stage.
Couldn't barely see him.
Oh, there were sound problems.
Oh.
And it was strange that he did all day. And did you watch the Brit Awards performance?
I did.
That was incredible.
It was pretty cool. And it was, like, conceptually, it was very cool.
So you already have that to compare it to, and the production value wasn't as high. Then he transitioned into Black Skinhead, which is a strange choice because it's
kind of random.
2 years old.
Yeah, I'm like, it's old.
And just a strange note to end the show on. I mean, it just seemed like this was, whereas the Brit Awards, everything went right. It just didn't seem like anything went right.
Maybe it was one of those things because they added it sort of at the last minute, because the Kanye performance, I think, was not added until last week. So maybe it was just sort of the you know, sort of the production capabilities that Kanye's camp had and the producers of the show, Dick Clark Productions, had in terms of pulling the performance together. We don't know sort of the internal machinations of
that's the takeaway from this podcast. We don't know.
I mean, we know some things.
Yeah.
But some things we don't know. And earlier, as we started to record this, I tweeted out something asking people, hey, we're recording the podcast right now. Tweet us your questions if you have any questions. And about 95% of the questions have been about Fifth Harmony.
Yeah.
So by the time all those people that were tweeting me, hopefully there will be some clarity.
Yeah.
Someone between Billboard or Fifth Harmony is going to have to say something to quell the natives, because they're very restless.
Yeah.
The harmonizers.
So Kanye, you know, it was definitely disappointing. But you know what was kind of like a sneaky great performance was Imagine Dragons' Stand By Me in honor of Ben E. King.
Yeah.
That was, I would not have expected to like that as much as I did, just because it's just like, oh, Imagine Dragons performing Stand By Me. Not that there's anything wrong with them. It's just that, I don't know. It just didn't make sense at first to me, but I think they definitely pulled it off. You talked to Imagine Dragons on the red carpet.
I did talk to Imagine Dragons on the carpet. I talked about how I'm not sure if all four of them live in Vegas. Dan, the lead singer, does live in Vegas. He says he lives in the mountains. It took them 25 minutes to get here. Here. We're still here at the MGM. And I asked them about performing in tribute to Benny King. And I asked them something else, which I don't quite remember. I really always enjoy talking to Imagine Dragons. They're always nice guys, and they're always funny.
Yeah, they're really good dudes.
And they kind of, like, you know, just kind of roll with it and start to act silly with you and give you funny video.
It's funny because you have these, and they're usually like male, either country or rock artists who are kind of come to the pop award shows, and they just seem to be rolling with the punches and having just a fun time. Like, I think of, like, Florida Georgia Line was there tonight too, and like, they're just so laid back, and they're just like, nah, this isn't it's almost like, yeah, this isn't really our party, but we're gonna crash it anyway and we're gonna have a fun time.
I think it really depends. It's sort of like that weird sort of award show thing where, depending on what it is and how, you know, what you're doing there. Like, Florida Georgia Line at, say, the CMA Awards or the ACM Awards, it might be a different story.
Exactly.
And also, you know, Imagine Dragons is always cool with us. Florida Georgia Line has been very nice to us. They almost always talk to us.
Yep.
Fifth Harmony talks to us whenever they possibly can.
Yep.
Yeah, and certain artists are just like, yeah, we're just having a good time. It's funny when you see, like, country artists come into, like, the Billboard Awards, because it's one of those cross-genre events. So, like, when we talked to Little Big Town or Brett Eldridge, it was like, you know, they're like, we're just, it's fun to see all these people
exactly.
wouldn't normally ever see at any of the shows that we go to, because they usually go to the country shows.
Yeah, they're going in and they're like, Oh, wow, like Mariah Carey. Oh, Nick Jonas. Oh, wow.
We're kind of like a mini Grammys in that way.
A little bit.
A little bit. We're you know, where it's like we've got a little bit of everything.
We do. Little Big Town with Faith Hill.
Yeah.
Was great.
Really?
They were really, really great. People, my dad texted me. Shout out to my dad. He said that he's not a country fan, but he was like, that was my favorite performance.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Well, you know, Girl Crush is kind of blown up, and they talked about the song On the Carpet and how it's sort of become this huge hit for them and how they knew it was going to be something special the first time they heard it. And they knew the songwriters of the song, and so they kind of had an in early.
Yeah.
They're like, we already knew the songwriters, and so we heard it the first time. We're like, that's ours. Give it. Gimme. and they also had some other news about stuff they're working on too, so you should check out that video on billboard.com.
Yeah, check out all of these videos right now on billboard.com.
Yes, check out all the videos. Seriously. Right now. Open up a second screen, go to billboard.com/video,
yeah,
and just start watching these videos that we're telling you all
you
about.
You also talked to Ed Sheeran, who performed tonight.
I did talk to Sheeran.
And he was, what did he say about his performance, the song choice?
Oh, yeah, so he performed Bloodstream, right?
Yeah, Bloodstream.
For the first time ever on TV,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, on TV.
And he said that he was originally supposed to perform Bloodstream on the Grammy Awards, and then he did not.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Well, I think it
so he saved it for the Billboard Awards.
Yeah, I think it almost kind of worked out because you remember his Grammys performance was great with Herbie Hancock and John Mayer and Questlove. I think that was the three people with him. Then they did Thinking Out Loud.
And then it transitioned into him with ELO.
Yeah.
Electric High Orchestra.
Yes. Yeah. So Ed's always a fun guy.
He talked about his Cheerios. Which was fun. And he was nice. He was just, I asked him about his new video photograph and if he cried the first time he saw it.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I don't get emotional looking at my stuff. He's like, but I guess his dad or his manager did. His manager cried. And I asked him I asked if Ed was involved with the video, the making of it. And he's like, no, that was all my dad. Like, I guess it was his dad just organizing all the footage and stuff. Yeah, we talked to Ed, watched the video. It's great.
So what else do we have to talk about? Any kind of fun backstagey stuff that you saw?
Fun backstage.
It was cool seeing, I talked to Yaz from the Empire cast. And
Jason's a big Empire fan.
I love Empire. And it was great because he was there with his mom. And his mom, like, I was interviewing him. And he pulled his mom in
the
shot.
She had a pretty cool dress on.
She
I think
did.
He's talking about that. He's like, look at the dress.
And that's awesome. I mean,
that's cool. Like, when the artist can bring their parents with them, that's
it's so
cool.
Funny. And what I asked him was, like, it's so crazy because it seems like Empire, like, it's like secondhand now, but that show premiered in January. It's May. Like, it hasn't been that long.
It's like, it's basically the same thing that happened when Glee started.
Yeah.
Like, overnight, these people were like, these by the end of that first season, like, everyone was like, Glee, 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 Glee. The same sort of
thing.
Is
that what people were doing?
Empire, 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 Empire. It's the same thing. Can you tell that we're getting delirious?
I know.
Because we haven't, like, neither one of us.
Here's the thing.
We're waiting for room service to show up, by the way. We haven't eaten. I have not had anything to eat for real since about a quarter of an apple. I had a quarter of an apple around
apple
like maybe 6 p.m.
Yeah, I'm so
hungry. And then before that, the last time I ate was around noon.
Yeah.
I had some yogurt.
Yeah. It's not.
So we're running on fumes here. We're losing
it. Hashtag pop life. It's tough for both of us.
Yeah.
I at least have the excuse of being on East Coast time still.
Yeah. I'm just feeling like that headache starts
to
come on.
It seems like it is 2 a.m., but it's.
It's only 10:13. So yeah. And we have to, you know, get up early for flights tomorrow on Monday.
That's true. So, Keith, is there anything we didn't touch upon? Let's see. Hozier's performance, Take Me to Church. That was cool. Oh, you know what? You know what was fun? Simple Minds.
Don't You Forget About Me.
That was great.
We talked to Simple Minds on the carpet.
What did they say to you?
I just asked about, you know, how does it feel to be celebrating, you know, this week, you know, 30 years ago this week. Don't You Forget About Me hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. You know, I just asked him about, you know, what's that mean and how the song has sort of continued to resonate over years. And I also asked them if they'd actually talked to Molly Ringwald ever since, you know, when was the last time they talked to him?
Yeah,
and
it must
be. And they were like, oh, it seems not since the premiere of The Breakfast Club.
Back. Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's really unbelievable.
I think the first time they probably actually, I mean, and on the carpet, they hadn't actually talked to her yet either. So I think the first time that they actually probably interacted with her was probably on the show after the performance.
Man.
Which is weird to think about when you think about a song that has been so intrinsically connected to a particular person and a particular movie. You just sort of assume, like, sometimes in your head you make those connections like, oh, yeah, like, you know, Wiz Khalifa and, like, Ludacris. Well, you know, Wiz Khalifa, you know, and See You Again in the movie. You just, you connect it. The same thing with, like, the Bee Gees and John Travolta. I'm sure if we asked John Travolta, when was the last time you saw the Bee Gees? He's like, oh, I don't know. Even though they did the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, which he was a star of. So it's funny how culturally we make those connections, but they don't really exist in real life.
Yeah, it's true. Speaking of Ludacris, I want to say that Luda and Chrissy Teigen were really strong as hosts, especially Chrissy.
She's hilarious.
She's really funny, and some of the jokes. Here's the thing about me and award show. Let me riff.
Here's the
a
thing about me and award shows.
I don't like award shows that hype a host, and they're like, "This person's hosting. Come on, oh my goodness, this person's hosting," and that hosting gig turns into a 5-minute monologue at the beginning, and then just kind of popping up every 40 minutes to be like, this person does this, and this person does this. Please welcome
these people.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that so much. Just do stuff. Just like, even if some of it doesn't work, just like try stuff. That's what I like. And she tried stuff, and not every one of her jokes landed, but a lot of them did. And I really enjoyed that. And Luda was kind of the straight man, but he's very, you know, friendly. He's very affable. I thought they made a great team.
Yeah, and she's, you know, I met her briefly at the press conference when we announced the Billboard Music Awards finalists.
Oh, cool.
And she was hilarious then. Like, you know, we weren't like on stage. Yeah. Like, we weren't having to, like, she wasn't performing for anyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were just having, like, they just, because what happened, and I'm going somewhere with this, what happened was they announced the finalists, and then I did a little Q&A with them in front of the press that was there. And she and Jussie Smollett, who were there to announce the finalists, wanted to meet me beforehand, so they knew, like, oh, hi, we're going to talk to you in a second. We wanted to say hi to you. And I went over there, and I met them both, and she was really funny and charming, and none of this was being recorded. We weren't being taped. It was just her being her. And so it sort of gives me hope that her tweets, which are so funny, like, maybe that's really her tweeting.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, does she hire a writer? Because they're really funny. You have to follow her on Twitter. It's hilarious.
Yeah. She is really, really funny. And her husband, John Legend, was performing with Meghan Trainor, who, oh, you talked to Meghan Trainor, but did you hear about how she, like, teared up basically when she won an award?
Really? Well, she said that she kind of lost it because she was telling us, she's like, I kind of forgot who I was supposed to be thanking on stage. And she didn't talk about tearing up. What did she say about?
I couldn't hear it. It's funny because, so in the press room, and you've done this, you've been in the press room, and sometimes they bring back people where
they cut out the footage.
And they cut it. So they have monitors in the press room. They cut out the audio when they had, like, so they brought out David Lee Roth and Celine Dion and Hozier and a couple other people into the press room for the general press to ask questions. So they muted the audio
right when she's starting to say,
right when she won her award. So I could see the teariness.
You know what's pretty awesome? Meghan Trainor came back and was doing press, and she was talking to me after she won her awards, and she did the press line, and I was like, you know, congratulations on your 2 awards tonight. You know, what does it mean? She's like, oh my God, I just got, you know, I kind of freaked out and I couldn't think everyone I went to, and I love Billboard and I love Gary. And she, like, name checks Gary Trust, who I work with.
Your chart?
He's my chart equivalent in New York.
Yeah.
Gary Trust, who always writes about the Hot 100 each week. He manages the Billboard Hot 100 now. And she name checked him and was like, oh, I love Gary. He always writes all those great stories. And he's always, you know, such a, you know, I met him. And then she talked about how when she was younger, she had a vision board. And she put the Hot 100 on her vision board, saying that someday I will just be on that chart.
That's so awesome.
And so tonight, when she won for the top Hot 100 song.
Yeah.
That must have been so freaking crazy. She's like, someday I'll be on that chart. And then she ends up winning the Billboard Music Award based on the Hot 100 chart.
Yeah. That is crazy. I mean, and we had her into our office before All About the Bass was even in the top 40, I think.
It was just starting out.
So now she's winning awards for it. Hot 100 Song of the Year. So, Keith.
So, Jason.
I think
44 minutes in.
Yeah, I think we are. I think we got to wrap this up.
Do we have an interview that we're spicing in? Or we're not doing that?
No,
right?
We're not doing that.
I wasn't sure if you had like a canned interview that you're like, and now we're going to go to this interview.
No, we appreciate all of
it's
the.
It's said again.
We like I said, we. So, a couple months ago, Keith and I did a live video Pop Shop podcast after the Grammys. And we couldn't do that at the Billboard Music Awards, but we really appreciate the fan interaction we got on Twitter and on the Periscope we did right after the show. And yeah, we appreciate it. We've gotten a lot of great comments on iTunes recently about the Pop Shop podcast, and we see all of them. We appreciate all of them. And yeah, we'll be back later this week to talk Song of the Summer.
Yeah. I don't have the charts out of the week.
That's fine. We don't have any soon-to-be hits.
No, that's right. This isn't a regular podcast.
Yeah, it's a special podcast.
I was just checking one more time to see if I had any tweets, like questions about the BBMAs.
I've only gotten Fifth Harmony
tweets. And all it is Fifth
Harmony
stuff. Why are you playing with the emotions of fans? Well, I'm like, I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Why are you playing with the emotions of fans? That's the thing. We love Fifth Harmony.
Did we like the Bad Blood video? Well, Bad Blood video.
I liked it a lot.
We talked about that.
All right. Before we now we're just going through our Twitters.
This is not very good. Okay, this is not.
This is not good radio.
We should wrap this up.
Keith, do you have any parting words?
This has been a hoot. This has been fun.
Yeah, man. I like seeing you in person.
Yes.
Do it more often.
When you're not all about Eving me. Trying to take all of my red carpet glory duties. I'm kidding.
That's not true.
That's not true at all. All
right, let's go out on Don't You Forget About Me. This is Simple Minds. 30 years ago, number one on the Hot 100. Thanks for listening. We will see you later this week for a regular Pop Shop podcast, and take care.